How to Overcome Temptation, Part 62. Today, please turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 through 12. The Bible reads, "Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation." But ye are a chosen generation. Jesus said to all of us who are saved, "I chose you, you didn't choose me." A royal priesthood. We get to be priests. What a privilege. Meaning we do not have to go through any man as Christians. We don't have to go to a confessional as the Catholics would have you do and pour your wicked heart to another wicked man. We can go straight through our Savior, Jesus Christ, the High Priest, and we serve as priests and a holy nation. A peculiar people, we're different than the rest of the world. Those of us who are saved, those of us who are born again, we think differently. We act differently. We look at the world differently. "That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul." You may have noticed with me this past week, the man who was held hostage, the Canadian who was held hostage, condemned the Taliban and the other wicked people who held them hostage, raped his wife, and killed his infant child. And when he mentioned the infant child, he almost broke up and cried in front of the cameras. And for doing this, he said to pilgrims, just passing through, trying to help the people over there, "Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. And we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for your mercy, your love and grace, and your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our High Priest. For Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins. Thank you for the privilege to come before your throne of grace and to plead our case, to admit our sins, to confess our sins, and to repent of our sins. This is serious business. Help us to do that. And as head of households, Lord, help us to confess the sins of our wives and our children. And help us to repent of our sins and to turn away from our evil ways. Lord, that is my prayer for everybody in this ministry, every Christian outside of this ministry. Help us to pray, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways and to humble ourselves. Crush and crucify our flesh. Fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, do what you want done in this short time together. Rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts. Lord, from these meetings today and all other Christian meetings that glorify your name. Save that soul that is nearest hell from the preaching of your holy word. Revive every Christian under the sound of my voice. And we praise you and thank you for allowing us to minister to nearly 50,000 people a week just from our stats alone, not counting all of the people who share our stuff and other platforms that we're finding out about that we're on, and we and sites and Facebook sites, and we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for the privilege to preach your holy word to so many people live and on demand. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would take your holy word preached, and Lord, open blinded eyes, unstop deaf ears, and save those who are lost. Help them to get baptized after they're saved and join a Bible-believing church and grow thereby. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Dr. Warren Wiersbe said regarding this passage, in the Old Testament period, God's people had a priesthood, but today, that is, the Israelites had a priesthood, but today God's people are a priesthood. We are the priesthood. We don't have to go to a priest. We don't have to go down to the booth and confess our wickedness to another wicked, perverted individual who is no doubt probably molesting children. We don't have to do that. And would molest you if you let him. You don't have to go and confess your sins to another wicked person. You can go straight to the throne of grace, to the high priest, Jesus Christ, and confess your sins directly to him personally. What a wonderful priesthood system. Amen, somebody. Each individual believer has the privilege of coming into the presence of God. You don't have to go through your father. You don't have to go through your mother. You don't have to go through, of course, if you're of age. You don't have to go through a preacher or a pastor. You can go straight to Jesus. We do not come to God through any person on earth, but only through the one mediator, Jesus Christ. Because he is alive in glory interceding for us, we can minister as holy priests. It is important that we, as God's priests, maintain our separated position in this world. We have too many Christians who, they are priests, but they don't look like priests. They wear some of those ungodly, worldly things known to mankind, and yet they say they're representing Jesus. They're trying to get down with the people. And that's not the way to do it. You don't have to look like a prude, but you do need, your outside ought to reflect your inside, so people will know who you stand with. We must not be isolated, Wiersbe said, because the world needs our influence and witness. But we must not permit the world to infect us or change us. We used to say back in the day, we need to be in the world, but not of the world. Amen, somebody. Separation is not isolation. It is contact without contamination. Allow me to repeat that in your hearing. Separation from the world is not isolation from the world. It is contact without contamination by the world. You can be in the world, but not of the world, ministering to it, contacting it for heaven with the gospel of the name, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and not be of it. You can touch it to try to help it, But you don't have to be of it to help it. Amen, somebody. And I think it's a wonderful arrangement that God has created for his children, his born-again ones, his blood-bought ones, his priests. So I don't want to be a priest where you are a priest. If you're saved, if you're born again, you can bow your head right now and talk directly to God through Jesus Christ. You're a priest if you want to be or not. And part of your job as a priest is not only to come and confess your sins, but to confess the sins of others in your family, to help them to repent, and confess other people who are going through and need some help. Don't just come before the throne of God saying, I'm a priest, Lord. Hear my prayer for myself, just me. No, pray for others as well. That's the job of a priest. Not only confess your sins and repent, confess the sins of others and help them to repent. Amen, somebody. And so, beloved, in this passage, and abstaining from fleshly lusts, we find several reasons why we ought to do so. The first reason why is because abstaining from lust is proof that we are changed people. Amen, somebody. Before you got born again, before you got saved, you were not trying to restrain from anything. In fact, we would joke and kid, why are you still a virgin? Why you don't have some girlfriend? Sometimes my older men in the street, boy, I know you got a bunch of girls over there, don't you? Got some children too, don't you? They made fun of it. Why you don't drink, man? Don't be a party pooper. Why you got to hit that joint, man? Yeah, you with us? You hanging with us? You got to hit that joint, man. But when you get born again, you get saved, you abstain from these things, and you fight to abstain from these things. You're not driven to do these things anymore because you have Jesus Christ living inside of you. We are changed people, that we are truly a part of the chosen generation. What a privilege. What a blessing to be a part of the chosen generation. Not the millennial generation, the baby boomer generation. Bunk that. Be a part of the chosen generation. Say, I'm proud to be a millennial. I'm proud to be a baby boomer. I'm proud to be Generation X. I'm proud to be Generation Nothing. But what you need to be happy about is that you are part of the generation, the chosen generation by Jesus Christ. Amen, somebody. What a privilege and what a joy. The royal priesthood, that's what you are. You say, I don't feel like it. Well, that's what you are. You might not be acting like it, but that's what you are. If you're born again, if you're saved. The holy nation. We're only holy by the blood of Jesus Christ. While a profession of faith is necessary, it is our actions that demonstrate to the world and even to the saved that we are a peculiar people. We're different. We don't try to be that way. We don't try to make ourselves appear that way. You just show up and you're different. Regarding this designation of God's people, Dr. Warren Wiersbe continued and said, the description of the church in these verses parallels God's description of Israel in Exodus 19 and Deuteronomy 7 in contrast to the disobedient and rebellious nation of Israel. God's people today are his chosen and holy nation. This does not in any way suggest that God is through with Israel, God forbid. But it does mean that the church today is to God and the world what Israel was meant to be. But Israel is distinct, and God will do his thing with them in time to come. Don't get it twisted. We're not saying at all that the church is Israel, like some people say, and Israel is the church. No, we're not saying that. We are a chosen generation, which immediately speaks of the grace of God. I said the grace of God. God chose us. We didn't choose him. God drew us to himself. We didn't draw ourselves. We didn't pull ourselves up, Daniel Ziegler, by our bootstraps up to God. We couldn't do it if someone paid us $1 billion. God did not choose Israel because they were a great people, but because he loved them. God has chosen us purely because of his grace and his love for us. Jesus told his disciples, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." We are a holy nation. We are a chosen generation. We have been set apart to belong exclusively to God. Our citizenship is in heaven, so we obey heaven's laws and seek to please heaven's Lord. Can somebody say amen? Israel forgot that she was a holy nation and began to break down the walls of separation with sin that made her special and distinct. God commanded them to put a difference between holy and unholy. And by the way, he told us to do the same thing. And between unclean and clean. But they ignored the differences and disobeyed God. We are the people of God by the grace of God. In our unsaved condition, we were not God's people because we belonged to Satan and the world. Now that we have trusted Christ, we are a part of God's people. We are a people of his own special possession, because he purchased us with his blood, the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. How about it, dear friend? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If not, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, even in this Bible study class, I have always presented the gospel so that those who have happened upon us can hear the gospel and be saved today before it is eternally too late. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell, "but have everlasting life." The Bible also says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou, you, shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou, you, shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend, understand and realize that you are a sinner. You know you are. You have broken some of God's commandments. I have too. We all have. The Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of our sin, there is a penalty, there is a punishment. It is a place called hell forever if we don't trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, for he is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. And all you have to do is believe in him, pray and ask him to save you, and he will save you. And I'm willing to lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer. Somebody led me December 19th, 1979. Believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ that he died on the cross for your sins. He shed his blood on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again, and has taken away your sins. All you have to do is believe in him. Yes, it is that simple. Yes, it is that easy. But it was not easy for God. It was not easy for Jesus. Repeat after me. Mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I realize that I am a sinner. And I know that I have broken some of your 10 commandments, such as lust, such as lying, such as dishonesty. And for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, as I from my heart believe in my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, and ask you to forgive me of all of my sins based upon what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, beloved, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God in the Bible, you are now saved from hell. It's not based upon my words. It's not based upon your words. It's not based upon some other man, but the Word of God in the Bible. And because you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been saved. Your soul has been saved from hell. And you're on your way to heaven by the grace of God. It's as simple as that. There's nothing hard about it. And we thank God for your salvation. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you is my prayer.